Well, that's a nice long gospel. And oh, we could be here till 3 o'clock talking about all the things that are in there. But I'll be merciful because God is merciful. So today we come to our third scrutiny with these three gospels that the church has used for the three scrutinies since the 4th century. The first one was the woman at the well, where we recognized along with her that we thirst for the living God. The second, last week, was the man born blind, where we realized that along with him we have been blind, and through Christ now we can see. And then today we have the raising of Lazarus from the dead. So there's a developing seriousness of these three conditions. It's worse to be blind than it is to be thirsty. It's worse to be dead than to be blind. So the seriousness is escalating as we go through these three scrutinies. So today, all three readings are emphasizing resurrection. They are emphasizing, as all of Lent does, mercy, God's mercy. And one of the things we have to realize is that we humans have a tendency to make a distinction between this life and the future life. So now we're living in sin, then we're going to be living in grace. Now we're living in death, then we're going to be living forever. But the scriptures, and particularly John's gospel, don't make a distinction between now and then. So, for example, that first reading from the prophet Ezekiel, "I will breathe my spirit into you so that you will live." He's not talking about life after death. He's talking about now. My spirit, the spirit of God, can dwell in you now. We're not waiting for the spirit of God to decide to come to us. It already came to us in baptism. The Spirit of God dwells in our bodies. We are living the resurrected life now. In the gospel, when Jesus says to Martha, "Do you believe?" She says, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you're going to, that the dead will be raised on the last day." See, she's pushing it off to the future. She's making that distinction that we all do, saying, "Well, right now he's in the tomb, but yeah, I know in the end he's going to be raised." And Jesus says, "The one who is going to raise him at the end of time is the one who is standing before you now. And I'm going to breathe life, I'm going to breathe my spirit into him now. And so let's go up to the tomb and roll back the stone, because this is a present reality." Well, one of the things that's kind of scary about that is that the expectation then is that we would live the resurrected life now. There's something kind of lazy, spiritually lazy, about pushing it off to the future. Then I don't have to be responsible now. It'll be a gift of God later, but now I'm still in my sin, and so I kind of have to stay here. No, you don't. The Spirit of God dwells in us now. The Eastern theologians have always held what was held by a lot of the early theologians in the Eastern Church back in the 4th century. But they still hold to this now. It's a word that they call theosis, which means divinization, the making into God of human beings. This transformation they take much more literally than we do in the West, that the process of transformation that has happened to us in baptism and is renewed and deepened and strengthened in the Eucharist over and over again, this theosis amounts to a peeling back of the layers of sin, of the layers of attachment to this world, the flesh. So it's like an onion. You peel off one layer of the flesh and there's another one, and you peel that off and you keep going until you get down to the core. So we who are immersed in this world, attached to this world, in love with this world, and so that's why we're pushing off the next world. Through grace, the layers of our resistance to grace, the layers of our resistance to becoming God now, are gradually peeled away. And as that resistance falls away, we become actually more Christ-like. That's why some of you who are older may realize that a lot of this has become easier in your old age. And, you know, in a purely human, physical, psychological way, we can say, well, the hormones aren't racing so wildly as they were when we were 18. You know, that's a purely physical explanation. But I think a more spiritual explanation is that the layers of the onion have been peeled back, and so our resistance, our attachment to this world gets weaker and weaker, so that we aren't as susceptible to the temptations as younger people are. That's grace gradually happening. And the wonderful part about old age is now you can, in hindsight — hindsight's always 20/20. In hindsight, you can look back and see how far you've come. When you're 30, it just seems like it's not going anywhere. You don't see any progress. You don't feel the layers being peeled away. But when you're 70, you can see how much smaller your resistance is. The onion has become much smaller, but purer, more holy, more godlike. These scrutinies are kind of like minor exorcisms. They are a deep way of scrutinizing our lives, of looking deeply into who we really are, and who we have been, and who we want to be, and asking God to expel the demons from our lives. And the demons are those resistances to grace. The demons are those excessive attachments to this world. The demons are the addictions, our addiction to eating, our addiction to name brands, our addiction to all the fascinations of this world. Those are our demons. Those are the things that build up deflector shields between us and grace. And so these catechumens this morning are going to be exercised. We're going to pray over them. We're going to ask God to take away their demons so that they will be pure to enter into the Easter sacraments in a couple of weeks. But of course, the church has always considered Lent not just for the catechumens. One of the reasons we do this in front of you is we're encouraging you to sort of, through them, experience that same expulsion of your demons. Through them, to identify what your specific demons are, and we all have our own personal, individual issues. And so we're not only praying for these catechumens, we're also praying for ourselves, that the grace, the mercy, the lifeblood of God would flow through our veins. So will the catechumens please come forward, along with their sponsors. I invite all of you in silence to pray for a spirit of true repentance. Will the assembly please stand? Godparents, place your right hands on the shoulder of the elect. Let us pray for these elect whom God has chosen. May the grace of the sacraments conform them to Christ in his passion and resurrection, and enable them to triumph over the bitter fate of death. That these elect may acknowledge Christ as the resurrection and the life. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
that they may be freed from sin and grow in holiness. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That liberated by repentance from the shackles of sin, they may become like Christ by baptism. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That they may be filled with the hope of the life-giving Spirit and prepare themselves for their birth to new life. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That the Eucharistic food which they are soon to receive may make them one with Christ. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That all of us may walk in newness of life and show to the world the power of the risen Christ. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That all the world may find Christ and acknowledge in him the promise of eternal life. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Father of life and God, not of the dead but of the living, you sent your Son to proclaim life, to snatch us from the realm of death, and to lead us to the resurrection. Free these elect from the death-dealing power of the spirit of evil, so that they may bear witness to their new life in the risen Christ, for he lives and reigns forever and ever.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, by raising Lazarus from the dead, you showed that you came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Free from the grasp of death those who await your life-giving sacraments and deliver them from the spirit of corruption. Through your Spirit who gives life, fill them with faith, hope, and charity, that they may live with you always in the glory of your resurrection, for you are Lord forever and ever.
Amen. Amen.
Will the assembly please be seated? My dear friends, this community now sends you forth to reflect more deeply upon the Word of God which you have shared with us today. Be assured of our loving support and prayers for you. We look forward to the day when you will share fully at the Lord's table.